Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Dub Chamber Sense setup from scratch in Ableton Live with clean routing that won't randomly explode into feedback the moment you get excited with the send knob. In drum and bass, a dub chamber is basically a controlled space machine living on your return tracks. It's reverb plus delay, but treated like its own little environment that you feed on purpose. The whole point is weight, depth, and movement without washing out the drums or wrecking the low end. By the end, you'll have two main returns. Return A is your dub chamber reverb, dark, punch-friendly, and kind of gated so it gives you a burst of space without turning into soup. Return B is your dub echo, tempo-synced, filtered, controlled feedback, and stable enough that you can actually perform with it. And I'll also show you an optional print track idea, so you can record your best throws and turn them into arrangeable textures. Alright, let's set the ground rules first. Session prep and routing rules. Open Ableton Preferences, go to Record, Warp, Launch, and make sure Create Fades on Clip Edges is turned on. That one setting saves you from clicks when you start printing and chopping little dub moments later. Next, make sure you can see sends and returns in the mixer. If they're hidden, go to the View menu and enable them. Now here's the key decision. Do you want your returns feeding each other? For clean routing, the answer is no. Not yet, because in Ableton, return tracks can send into other return tracks. That's powerful, but it's also the number one reason people get accidental feedback loops. We'll keep it clean first, then if you want controlled dub network behavior, we'll do it intentionally and safely. Return A. Build the dub chamber verb. Create a return track and name it A. Dub verb. And we're going to build the chain in a very specific order. Think of this like gain staging and hygiene first, vibe second. First device, EQ8, before the reverb. This is your pre-filter. Its job is to decide what is allowed to enter the space. Turn on a high-pass filter somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. Start around 220-ish and adjust. In drum and bass, this is non-negotiable. If low mids and bass energy enter the reverb, you lose punch, and your whole mix starts feeling blurry and overcompressed. Optional move, if your hats are already spicy, a small dip around 2 to 4K. Not a huge scoop, just enough that the reverb doesn't exaggerate harshness. Next, hybrid reverb. Set it to algorithmic mode and pick a chamber algorithm. If you want it tighter, try room instead. Set decay around 1.2 to 2.2 seconds. Start at 1.6 seconds. Set pre-delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds. Start at 22. That pre-delay is important because it lets your transient punch through first, then the space blooms behind it. That's how you keep a snare feeling aggressive but still in a room. Set size around 60 to 90%. Then set the damping or high cut so it's darker. Aim for around 6 to 10K. Start at 8K. If the device offers a low cut inside it, set it around 200 to 300 Hz as well. Doubling up on low control is totally fine, and make sure wet is 100%. This is a return, so we want only affected signal on the return channel. The dry stays on the source track. Next device, gate. This is a classic dub move. It's how you get that puff of space without an endless tail. Especially in 174 BPM music, long reverb tails can feel like they're stepping on the groove. Set the gate threshold so the reverb tail closes after about 250 to 600 milliseconds. The exact number depends on your material. You're listening for a quick burst that supports the hit, then gets out of the way. Set return, meaning the gate's closing smoothness, somewhere around 6 to 12 dB so it doesn't slam shut. Attack, 1 to 5 milliseconds to avoid clicks. Next, saturator. Pick soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 5 dB. Level match the output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. If you want extra safety, enable soft clip, but don't use it as an excuse to ignore levels. Then, utility. This is your stereo control. Start with width at 100%. If the mix starts losing focus when you push sends, try pulling width down to 80 or 90%. Or if you want a bit more spread, go to 110 or 120, but be careful. In DNB, width is awesome until it makes your drums feel smaller. Quick teacher tip here, treat this return like a micro mix. When you do a big send throw, you want the return channel peaking somewhere around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. If it's barely moving unless you crank sends to 70%, don't live like that. Add a utility early in the chain and give yourself plus 3 to plus 8 dB of gain going into the effects. Then your send knobs can stay in a sensible range and feel playable. Return B. Build the dub chamber echo. Create your second return track and name it B. Dub echo. First device. Echo. Turn sync on. For time, use 1/8 dotted or 1/4 as your starting points. Those are classic DNB sweet spots because they groove with the tempo and create that call and response feel without turning into constant chatter. Set feedback around 25 to 45%. Start at 33. Keep noise low or off for a clean modern sound. If you want jungle grime, you can introduce noise later. Add subtle modulation, like 5 to 15%. This gives movement, but we're not trying to make it seasick. Now the most important part inside echo, the filters. Set a low cut around 200 to 400 Hz. Set a high cut around 4 to 8K. Darker rollers often live closer to 3 to 5K. The darker you filter, the more the delay sits behind the drums instead of fighting them. And again, set dry slash wet to 100%. Next, EQ 8 after echo. This is your post-filter. Pre-filter decides what enters. Post-filter decides what survives. Put a high pass around 250 to 450 Hz. And if you're getting aggressive hat stab in the repeats, notch a bit around 3 to 6K. Next, glue compressor. This is your anti-runaway and anti-spike device. It keeps the repeats from poking holes in your mix when you do a big throw. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto. Ratio 2 to 1. Lower the threshold until you're seeing about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction when the repeats hit. You're not squashing the life out of it, you're just smoothing. Next, saturator or overdrive, depending on vibe. For modern rolling DNB, saturator tends to stay cleaner and more controlled. For darker jungle-ish grit, try overdrive. Set frequency around 1 to 2K, drive around 10 to 25%, then tone to taste. And once again, level match. Distortion is a liar if you don't level match. Clean routing. Stop accidental feedback loops. Now we do the thing that makes this whole setup clean routing. Go to return A and return B, and look at their send knobs. Yes, returns have sends too. Turn the sends from A to B and B to A all the way down to minus infinity. Rule of thumb. Clean setup means returns do not send to returns. Dub madness means they can, but only with filters. Safety limiting, and ideally automation so it's intentional. Also check the return track output. Keep it going to master, or to a dedicated FX bus if that's your workflow. Don't route it into some random audio track unless you're doing a deliberate resampling setup. And one more easy to miss mistake. If you create a resample or print track later, do not leave its monitoring set to in, or you'll hear doubled effects and think your routing is haunted. Send strategy, what to feed in drum and bass. Now let's actually use this like a producer, not like a demo. On drums, kick usually gets little to no send. 0 to 5%, if any. Sometimes a tiny chamber puff works in minimal techie DNB, but in most cases keep the kick dry and confident. Snare or clap is your main candidate. Try 10 to 25% into the dub verb, and 5 to 15% into the dub echo. Hats and break tops. Try 5 to 15% into the echo and only a tiny bit into verb if the groove needs glue. On bass, sub-bass generally gets no sends. Keep it dry, keep it mono, keep it stable. Mid-bass stabs or a res mid layer can take small amounts, especially into the echo. Try 5 to 20% and let the filtered repeats create movement. If you send res into verb, keep the high-pass filtering strict because low mis plus reverb equals instant mod. On vocals and FX, one shots, impacts, shouts, risers, vocal chops, these are where you can go bigger, like 20 to 50% sends, because you can create huge dub moments without destroying the core groove. Automation. The real dub technique. This is where it stops speeding I added reverb and becomes sub. The returns are set and forget. Stable tone. Controlled dynamics. Filtered. The sends are the performance. In arrangement view, show automation for send A and send B on your key tracks, especially snare, vocal chops, hats, and a mid-stab. Common moves that work almost every time in 174 BPM. At the end of a 4-bar phrase, take the last snare hit and spike send B, the echo, up to around 30 to 50% just for that hit, then snap it back down. For a pre-drop vocal chop, spike send A, the verb, briefly so it feels like it gets pulled into space, then cut it back so the drop lands dry and heavy. On a break fill, throw the last hat or ghost snare into the echo so it trails into the downbeat. Timing tip. At this tempo, automation should be fast and intentional. Try drawing ramps that happen over 1/8 note or 1/4 bar. If you fade too slowly, it just sounds like you left the send up by accident. Optional advanced move. Controlled cross feedback without chaos. If you want a more authentic dub chamber network, we can let the reverb feed the echo a little. But we do it safely. First, keep B to off. Then on return A, turn up the sen to return B just a tiny amount, think minus 25 to minus 15 dB, very small, tiny moves go a long way. Now add protection. Put an EQ8 near the end of both returns with a steeper high pass around 250 to 400 Hz. This stops low-end feedback buildup. Then add a limiter at the very end of each return, sealing at minus 0.3 dB, just in case you get a surprise spike when you're performing automation. If you want to perform this, automate that A to B send like an instrument control. Don't leave it up permanently while you're arranging. Arrangement mindset. Using the chamber as structure. Think of your dub chamber as an arrangement tool, not just an effect. Intro. You can feed hats and effects into Echo more to establish atmosphere. First drop. Tighten the sends. Make space expensive. Your drums will hit harder. Variation. Bring back bigger throws so it feels like progression without adding new samples. Breakdown. Automate reverb decay up, like 1.6 seconds up to 3 seconds. Then snap back right on the drop. You're basically putting the DJ's hand inside the track. Bass becomes a gesture. Mini practice exercise. Here's a quick 15-minute drill. Load a simple D&B loop. Kick, snare, hats, maybe a break layer, and a mid-bass stab. You don't even need sub for this practice. Build return A and return B, exactly like we did. Set starting sends. Snare. Send at 20%. Send B at 10%. Hats. Send B at 10%. Dab. Send B at 15%. Then automate. Every 4 bars, spike the last snare hit, send B up to 45% for one hit only. In the bar, before a drop, automate the hybrid reverb decay up to about 2.8 seconds. Then back to 1.6 right on the drop. Bounce a 16-bar clip and listen for two things. Does the low end stay tight? Do the throws feel rhythmic and intentional, like part of the groove? Printing workflow, turn throws into samples you can arrange. Now the optional but highly recommended part, printing. Create an audio track named Print, DubFX. Set audio from to returns only, if you have that option in your version and workflow. If not, you can record from master, but returns only is cleaner. Set monitoring to off, this avoids doubling. Arm the track. Now record 8 bars while you perform send throws. This audio version is shortened for playback.